Jonathan Armstrong from Cordry here in the UK. With me is Eric Sinrod from Duane Morris in the US. And I guess there's no prizes for guessing what this week's topic is going to be. It's the Equifax breach. And Eric, you've been thinking about it quite a lot.
Yes, and also we want to extend our best wishes to those people impacted by Hurricane Irma. Millions of people have been displaced. There's going to be quite a bit of property damage, and unfortunately there have been a few injuries and deaths. So I know you share in that with me, Jonathan, so we're wishing our best to all those. And then, you know, going from the real world into cyberspace, as Jonathan says, we know that we've been reporting on various hacks over the years, but like the hurricane, this week has brought a whopper. And we've learned that there were some hacking activities that took place over an extended period of time, which compromised the Equifax site and potentially a phenomenal 143 million consumers in the United States may have been impacted in terms of, you know, the revelation of personally identifiable information like Social Security numbers, addresses, driver's license, birth dates, you know, the type of information that can really help the wrongdoers engage in identity theft and all sorts of mischief to the detriment of the people who should properly hold their own personal identifiable information. So what I want to talk about first, Jonathan, is, you know, what people can do to find out if they've been affected, and if so, where to go next. And then, of course, I'll be interested in your thoughts from the other side of the pond, and any thoughts you might have generally in terms of how hack companies can best respond and help their customers. Does that sound fair, Jonathan?
Yeah, that sounds a good plan.
So what Equifax has done is it's set up a website that's designed to help people. And if you go to EquifaxSecurity2017.com, you may get some help. In the first instance, to find out whether you've been affected. So you go there, you click on the potential impact link at the top of the navigation. Once there, you're directed to the check potential impact button. So you start at the potential impact link, then you're directed to the check potential impact button. Then you enter the last six digits of your Social Security number, so you're not giving up the whole thing, and your last name, so it's not your full name. And hopefully, by doing that, you'll find out whether you're within the 50% of the American population, roughly, that's been affected or not. Some people are getting vague responses there. I hope that's getting cleaned up. But if you do, there is a phone number for you to call up, and I've been told that the people do actually answer the line, and they are helpful. That number is 866-447-7559, 866-447-7559. Okay, now if you're having a problem, or maybe even if not, you should enroll in what's called Trusted ID Premier. This is an offering by Equifax, which includes a complimentary monitoring service that also has folded into it an Equifax credit report, 3 bureau credit file monitoring, Equifax credit report lock, Social Security monitoring, and up to $1 million in identity theft insurance. So that's worth checking out. Next, please monitor your accounts. Take a look at your account statements and look for any irregular activities or any changes in your personal information because, you know, if you see something suspicious there, there really could be a problem. Next, feel free to visit the FTC Identity Theft site, the FTC Identity Theft site, for additional recommendations on how to protect yourself from identity theft. The site gives guidance regarding a variety of information that can be stolen and exactly what to do in response. Some of this advice includes, Jonathan, explaining when to place a credit freeze, suggesting to file taxes early. Why would you do that? So hackers would have less of an opportunity to use your Social Security number to file for you and get your tax refund, which I think you'd rather have than give to the bad guys. And it explains not to trust anyone who calls saying you must pay taxes or debts promptly or stating when to change passwords and login information. A lot of times the elderly are preyed on in this regard quite a bit. And then in the unfortunate event you've been an identity theft victim, you can complete a form on the FTC Identity Theft Recovery site, the FTC Identity Theft Recovery site. This will give you a specific identity theft report as well as a recovery plan to-do list. So I'm hoping listeners of our podcast and others are not within the ambit of those who've been affected by this hacking, which took place actually over several months, and we've only learned about recently. But now I want to turn it back to you, Jonathan, for your perspective over there and overview thoughts you have for companies.
Yeah, I have a few. It seems to me that much of Equifax's response has been focused on U.S. residents, and that's right and that's proper because they're the majority. But of course, there are victims in the UK and in Canada, and we already know that the UK Data Protection Regulator, the Information Commissioner's Office, commenced an investigation on Friday. I think they've been frustrated by progress a little, and it'd be interesting to see where that investigation goes. I think Equifax do score some what we call brownie points, so they get some gold stars for some things that they've done right. I mean, they did have a video from Rick Smith, their chair and CEO, where he offered some practical guidance. I've a slight worry with some of the tonality of that. And they did have some issues, as you know, with scaling out their call center, in part because some of the operatives were in the hurricane path, unfortunately. I think what we've learned from other security breaches like this is obviously that in the UK particularly, the regulators have said that they will still investigate breaches even when hackers are primarily responsible. They'll be particularly looking at questions about things like patches, whether vulnerabilities were patched quickly enough, whether this was a zero-day attack, i.e. an unknown attack vector, or whether this is something that people should have known about in advance. We also know from the TalkTalk breaches, the Information Commission has now looked at three breaches from TalkTalk, a telco over here, for example, that you have to be full and frank with the regulator. You have to get in front of them quickly and don't talk about the corporation as being a victim. The victims are the people whose identity has potentially been stolen. Obviously, we also know from a general point of view, when we're dealing with these breaches, and regrettably, we've dealt with an awful lot this year on behalf of clients, that really you have to go through a driven process, if you like, to investigate things properly. And that, from our point of view, we normally are involved in four areas: investigate, assess, remediate, mitigate. And probably too long to go into in 10 minutes, but I'll put the link on our LinkedIn profile. But obviously, you have to assume the worst when you're investigating. You have to know your liability. So here, of course, you've liability to the victims if you're the corporation responsible, but you also potentially have regulatory fines. For an organization like Equifax, currently that's limited to 500,000 sterling. Under GDPR, it's based on turnover. So fines, as most people would know, for an organization of Equifax's size, would be 4% of global annual revenue. So in Equifax's case, a potential fine of $108 million by my calculation would be the potential. We know that the UK regulator has never issued up to the maximum fine. The highest in the UK is 4/5 of the maximum for the TalkTalk breach, which at least at this stage seems fairly similar. And another lesson that we've learned as well is that victims are obviously feeling vulnerable. Earlier iterations of the site required people to put in more personal data and to waive their ability to effectively take proceedings against Equifax for any harm they might suffer. And it's to Equifax's credit, I think, that they've changed that around. I understand that some state attorney generals have said that they had reached out to Equifax specifically obviously from a UK point of view or an EU point of view, bear in mind that any terms you seek to impose on victims are also subject to a fairness test. So any term that's patently unfair to a victim in a vulnerable situation would be likely struck out by the courts anyway. But I think the critical lesson that it tells us is that when you're dealing with security breaches, you do have to act quickly. As you know, under GDPR, you will have, from May next year, 72 hours to deal with a breach and reach out to regulators. You might have a slightly longer period to reach out to victims if the regulator allows you more time, for example, because law enforcement are on the scene. But I think we're likely to see a much more accelerated process post-May. And obviously, the process for US victims would also have to be quicker if a report is made to EU regulators. So effectively, those time limits in the US become more compressed as well. And I think my gut feel is that this is podcast one on the Experian breach, Eric. I think we're going to be doing four or five more after this as the regulatory investigations in particular unravel over the coming months.
Right. In terms of the Equifax breach, that's true. Very good thoughts, Jonathan. Always important to hear from you. As another further well wishes, if you will, or this is the anniversary of 9/11, and so many people were affected by that tragic day, so our thoughts are with them too. And, of course, with the people who have been impacted just this week by the hurricane and the Equifax breach. All that being said, I'm Eric Sinrod at Duane Morris. You can reach me directly at ejsinrod@duanemorris.com. You can find us on the usual social media outlets. Jonathan, if you'd be kind enough to close it out.
Yeah, I'm Jonathan Armstrong, jonathan.armstrong@accordiacompliance.com. I will, as I say, post our four-point plan that we use on our LinkedIn pages, or if you want a copy of it, just email me, as I say, jonathan.armstrong@accordiacompliance.com. All that remains is to thank you for listening to us. We'll be back in touch again in a week or so. Thanks.
Cheers. Thank you.